Today is the first Sunday of Advent. The scripture lessons are from Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 14 through 16, Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10, and the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. Today's message is titled, I Wait for You, O God. Hear the word from Jeremiah, chapter 33, beginning at the 14th verse. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Here ends the first lesson. Psalm 25, beginning at verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. But they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good. O Lord, good. And upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his ways. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. Here ends the psalm. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 21, beginning at the 25th verse. And you'll find that it's very similar to last Sunday's gospel reading from Mark. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you will know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Here ends the gospel. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love. And show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. I really do not like to wait. Waiting's hard to do. Do you find the same thing? Waiting is hard to do. I mean, waiting for the next available self-checkout register. Waiting at the toll booth to toss in your coins, or if you're traveling farther, waiting for the toll booth to hand in the toll card and pay with cash for those longer distances. Or waiting in the restaurants, you probably had this experience and remember it, waiting in restaurants for an open table, even though you called ahead with your reservations. Then there's those long lines at Disney to ride the best rides, even using FastPass, which is now defunct, they're changing it to something else. Even using FastPass, the waiting was still waiting too long. Waiting to check in at the airport, waiting for the birth of your first child, especially that child of expectation of what may be the new way of life. Waiting upon the needs of the little one, even in the middle of the night. That anxiety of waiting, adding up with that constant, I did this, I don't know if you did it too, but I did this, that constant fretting about being a parent for the first time. How will I deal with the crying, the diaper changing, and of course avoiding stubbing the toe in the middle of the night between the changing table and the diaper pail? Waiting for the last few moments of that game clock to tick off and the final buzzer to sound. As the game is really close, you're biting your nails and the other team's driving. Come on, clock buzz! Time out! All sorts of waiting. All sorts of waiting. Waiting for this, waiting for that. Especially this time of year, and especially this year more than other years. Waiting because the shelves are empty and so you're ordering the gifts. And those will just have to wait too. Will it arrive on time? Will Cyber Monday be like other Cyber Mondays? Because you go to the online store, it's out of stock, waiting for more to come, waiting. How long will one have to wait? Empty shelves at the home improvement store. It's happening here in our own area. I've been doing some electrical work in the house, and the local big box stores where the old work electrical boxes are to be found, those shelves are empty. I mean, I managed to grab the last one at one of the places. And have you seen the price of wiring? With the price of wire, I realized I had a gold mine in my basement when I had that 250-foot roll of 12-2 wire that I bought several years ago for a project. You know, the shelves are becoming more and more like old Mother Hubbard's cupboard. What kind of waiting is ahead for us? Do you get anxious waiting for test results, or waiting for your grades to be posted, or waiting for the cast list to be posted, or wondering how long will we have to wait for the virus to be gone? Now there's the Omicron variant, even though South Africa Medical Association debunks the global hysteria, stating the Omicron variant symptoms are unusual but mild. Yes, mild. Quoting Dr. Angelique Cotez, the chairwoman of the South African Medical Association, it presents mild disease with symptoms being sore muscles and tiredness for a day or two, not feeling well. So far, we have detected that those infected do not suffer the loss of taste or smell. They might have a slight cough. There are no prominent symptoms. That is the chairwoman of the South Africa Medical Association. And what are we hearing in our own land? There is no reason to panic yet. Still, we are waiting. We are waiting. Waiting. Waiting as Israel. Can you place yourself in that? waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. That promise given to Israel. When will it be fulfilled? Many are still waiting for that promise to be fulfilled, for they have not believed. The promise has been fulfilled. Jesus Christ has come. Try to place yourself in that worship life of Israel all those years ago, with the troubles rising caused by foreign armies coming and oppressing the land and the people through their history many, many times. As the suffering grows, as the hearts then turn to repentance, the Lord God sends prophets, and through the prophets come words of promise, such as we heard from Jeremiah this morning. Jeremiah chapter 33, beginning at verse 14. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout forth from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. The days are coming. They are certainly coming. Not wishful thinking of a day that may come. Nay, the days are coming. In Hebrew, the first word is, behold. It's not there in the English translation, but in the Hebrew, the first word is, behold. It's a very graphic and vivid word to draw attention to a certainty that is present. The days are coming. This is a certainty such that hope is to be restored in the heart. Hope will come to you and be in you at the hearing of these words. The days are coming. The man speaking these words is the prophet Jeremiah. That's true, he's a man, but he's a prophet. The prophet Jeremiah. Yes, he's a man. That's true. But I want you to turn your attention to the one who gave Jeremiah the words to speak. It's written in Jeremiah chapter 33, beginning at verse 1. While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is His name. Jeremiah, a true prophet of the Lord God, is speaking the word of the Lord God, the word the Lord told him to speak. These words, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. Yes, says the Lord. What will these days bring? What will happen? What will take place? The Lord says, I will perform that good thing which I promised to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The Lord will do as the Lord promised and perform good. Good. Good in the fullest and most complete sense of good. It's a gracious promise will be fulfilled. The Lord is promise giver and promise fulfiller. A wonderful and amazingly good promise will be fulfilled. Those days are coming with the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah being very specific. Jeremiah chapter 33, now beginning at verse 15. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. To David, a branch will grow up, meaning the promise will be in the house of David. as a child will be born in the house of David. A descendant of David will be the fulfillment of the promise. The Lord will do this. The Lord will bring this about. A little later in Jeremiah chapter 33, the Lord says that the covenant with David stands. Just as day and night will come and go at their appointed time, the covenant with David endures. Such that Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 17, it is written, "For this is what the Lord says, David will never fail to have a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel." The Lord says His covenant cannot be broken, and promise given will be promise fulfilled. "The days are coming," says the Lord. Throughout Jeremiah chapter 33, the Lord says restoration will come. The Lord will bring health. The Lord will bring healing. The Lord will bring him back from captivity in Babylon. Cleanse them from all their sin. Forgive their rebellious ways, such that joy, praise, and honor, the sounds of joy and gladness will be heard again, such as the voices of bride and bridegroom will be heard, and the voice of thank offerings will be heard, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever." The days are coming. The promise will be fulfilled. That gracious promise, that good promise will be fulfilled. The righteous branch will sprout from David's line. The promised one will come. This is the Lord's doing. This means you can put your trust in the Lord. Yes, put your trust in the Lord. As Psalm 25, David declares in those words recorded in Psalm 25, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame." From Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, the Hebrew word translated as trust is a primitive root properly meaning to hide for refuge, to hide for refuge, but figuratively means this: to trust, be confident, boldly confident, secure, even means hope. Hope along with that trust. Also, from Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, the Hebrew word translated by the NIV, New International Version, as hope, it really means to wait for. Such that the translation of Psalm 25, the first half of verse 3, the reading is really more like this: "Indeed, none of those who wait for the Lord will be ashamed." Within that wait, that word wait, is found a sense of expectancy. Expecting, you are expecting something. "For those who wait upon the Lord will not be put to shame." None who wait expectingly upon the Lord, none will be ashamed. None will be ashamed for waiting upon the Lord, waiting for the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, and you will come to know the goodness of the Lord as you learn the ways of the Lord, as it says in Psalm 25. Walk in the ways of the Lord. Here from verses Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." Again, there's that word hope. In the verse, it means to wait for. This is the same verse from the New American Standard Bible, 1995. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. This is the NASB, 1995. "Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day." For you I wait all the day. That's what hope is. expectantly waiting upon the Lord. I wait. Abounding throughout the scriptures are verses about waiting on the Lord. And this waiting is with assurance, expected assurance. The Lord who gave the promise is the Lord who fulfills the promises. Therefore, waiting is hope. And hope is waiting upon the Lord. For you, I wait all the day. A few examples from Scripture. Micah chapter 7, verse 7. But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Psalm 130, verses 5 through 7. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. And in His word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for the Lord there is loving kindness, and with Him is abundant redemption. James, the book of James, chapter 5, beginning of verse 7. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. The days are coming, says the Lord. The coming of the Lord is near. The first has been fulfilled. The good, gracious promise has been given. For the baby boy was born in Bethlehem. Is indeed Jesus, the Savior, of whom the angelic host declared to the shepherds. It's written in Luke chapter 2, beginning of verse 11. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Our sins are forgiven in Christ the Lord, just as promised by the Lord God Almighty. Just as assuredly those promises have been fulfilled. We now wait for the promise to be fulfilled, as spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, as it's written in Luke chapter 21, verse 27. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Watch and wait, for the bridegroom is coming. The marriage feast is waiting. This means you can wait, expectantly wait, even with all the problems, the pain, sufferings of these days whirling around us as hysteria is hyped up by the media, enabling tyranny in various places rear its evil head, as the rule of law falls into lawlessness as evidenced by the organized smash and grabs growing and growing, and the growing list of example after example of disdain for facts and contempt for truth evidenced by the cancel culture of anyone who goes against the preferred narrative. Know that even in the midst of the destruction of Jerusalem, the people held captive by Babylon, the Lord promised in that present place of desolation, there will again be pastures for the shepherds to rest their flocks. And the flocks will be so numerous, they will pass again under the hand of the one who counts them. So numerous, it's the only way to count them, is for them to pass underneath the hand who counts them. The Lord will do this, says the Lord. Salvation will come. Salvation has come. The righteous branch has come. The Lord, our righteousness, has come. And just as assuredly as He has come, He will come again. He will come again. Till then, be filled with hope. As you expectantly wait for the Lord to fulfill His good, 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 gracious promise that is still to come. Life eternal in His very presence. Look up! Look up to the heavens, as it's written in Luke chapter 21, verse 28. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Therefore, let your heart join in. I wait for you, O God. I wait for you, my Lord, my Savior, my King. I wait for you, O God. I wait for you. Hope, peace, joy, and love is yours. For you know, yes, you know, it will be all right. Yes, all things will be made all right. For I wait for you, O God. I wait for you. Amen. And amen. I invite you to join in.